The U.S. has ordered millions, I believe it's 13 million, monkeypox vaccines from a Nordic country, a company. And I believe they're also basically smallpox vaccines, which I thought was kind of weird because we eradicated smallpox, but they decided to order all these vaccines. And I thought it was weird that the bulk of the order has already been manufactured. So for some reason, something happened where this company, I believe it's a Danish company, decided that it would be profitable to start mass producing millions of doses of a monkeypox and smallpox vaccine. Well, we are in luck because now we have what is being called a global outbreak. Now, it's a little preliminary. There are, I think, 9 countries, one of which there is a suspected case, but in 8 there are confirmed cases of monkeypox. The media is hyping it up a little bit. We've got to break down what it really means, but as much as this may just be shock and fear, you've got an election year coming up. Yeah, it may just be shock and fear. This may be just an attempt to rile people up, invoke fear of the COVID lockdown, and then maybe use that fear to try and help, or I should say exploit that fear to win an election. So you got to be careful about what the media is saying about this. So we're going to break down what's going on and what people are saying about the monkeypox outbreak. It's already got its Wikipedia entry. I believe there's 34 confirmed cases. We have a potential case in Manhattan. We have a confirmed case in Massachusetts, 17 potential cases in Montreal, 23 potential cases in Spain. And it's actually scary because if this is the bad monkeypox, the mortality rate is 10%. If it's like the not that bad monkeypox, its mortality rate is less than 1%. So we'll see. We'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about all the other controversies. We got gas prices expected to hit $6 an average per $6 per gallon average by August. Twitter has announced new censorship policies, and the smear pieces on Elon Musk have dropped. They're accusing him of sexual impropriety. We'll call it that. And then we've got some other funny stories. The woman from the cover of that Sports Illustrated, the chunky woman, chunky queen, she's snapped back at Jordan Peterson. So maybe we'll talk about that again. I also tweeted something about fat acceptance. And of course, all these fat people are mad at me. I don't know. It's not a political thing. So I'm assuming the people who are mad are probably overweight or something. I mean, I lost a ton of weight as of November. So, you know, so
traitor.
Yes, absolutely. Joining us to have a conversation, hang out on this Thursday, is Lily Tang Williams.
Hi, team. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Lily Tang Williams, actually in the history of New Hampshire, first time a Chinese immigrant running for Congress in City 2. So I welcome people to check me out, lilytangwilliams.com. I'm on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
That's a win for diversity. I'm sure the Democrats love you.
Well,
Dwayne, are you saying they don't actually believe in that? How absurd.
An immigrant?
Yeah.
A female person of color running? I mean, that's everything they should be proud of.
Well, don't write them off. Yeah, I think people have been very nice to me. I do have lots of undeclared independents, even moderate Democrats. I truly believe if they like me, they like my messages, they feel they can trust me, and they could vote for me. So, you know, we have to keep it positive, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? I hope anyone and everyone who's considering voting for you does. It is great to have you back. I am Seamus of Freedom Students. We just uploaded a cartoon today on leftists rediscovering biology. If you guys want to check that out, it's in response to Roe v. Wade. I think y'all will enjoy it. That's over at Freedom Tunes. Also, we're going to be launching the Freedom Tunes website on May 30th. Go over there. It's still under construction, but you'll be able to put your email address in to get notified when we launch.
What's up, everybody? I am Elad. I do a lot of on-the-ground reporting for Timcast. Excited to talk to Lily about her candidacy and a lot of other news that we got coming up.
I am very excited for tonight. We love Lily over here. I think this is her third time here through Times of Charm. She's a lovely lady, and let's get into it.
Before we get started, head over to Timcast.com, become a member, and help support our work. As a member, you'll get access to exclusive segments of the Timcast IRL podcast at 11 p.m. Monday through Thursday. We'll have another one of those up tonight. And you will also be supporting our journalists and our infrastructure because we work with Rumble for all of our infrastructure needs on the website. That means, as a member, you are supporting the alternative technology infrastructure and ecosystem, and we are competing with Silicon Valley big tech, and we are resistant to censorship. So that's another reason to get behind the work we do, as well as Rumble and everyone else in this space. We have more updates coming up. In regards to the infrastructure that we're working on. So don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, and let's jump into that first story from the New York Post. The U.S. buys millions of monkeypox vaccines after Massachusetts confirms case. The U.S. has ordered 13 million additional doses of the monkeypox vaccine after a Massachusetts man contracted the rare but potentially severe virus. The massive $119 million order of the Jynneos jabs, which can be used to treat both the monkeypox virus and smallpox, was created by the biotechnology company Bavarian Nordic, according to Newsweek. In 2015, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, approved the use of the Jynneos as a vaccine for the rare virus. Monkeypox was first discovered in 58, blah, blah, blah. Symptoms include fever, headache, body aches, swollen lymph nodes, chills, exhaustion, and in some cases, rashes. Within recent years, there have been several flare-ups of the disease, several of them in the UK. Two cases were imported in the US in 2021. However, if you head over to the Wikipedia entry for the 2022 monkeypox outbreak, I think perhaps we could ask some questions about why it already has a Wikipedia entry and what's happening this year where this kind of story could greatly benefit someone. And, well, it's politics. Now, before we get into all that, they're saying the virus strain is the West African clade of the monkeypox virus, which has a mortality rate, my understanding, is less than 1%. They say, but however, they do say, although usually monkeypox generally presents with similar symptoms to smallpox, although usually milder, however, the case fatality rate for monkeypox may still be as high as 10% without prompt treatment. And if you go down, we have the UK, Spain, Portugal, the US, Sweden, Italy, Belgium, Canada, and France. Now, in Canada and France, there are suspected cases, not confirmed cases, but in the seven other countries, we have confirmed cases totaling 34. Perhaps it's nothing, right? Perhaps this is just something that happens every year, and maybe the media's latched onto it because it'll generate clicks. Maybe it can be used to scare people for an election, or maybe they just purchased 13 million monkeypox vaccines for a reason. I told Luke Rutkowski on the show, what was this, before January, I thought we'd see a lockdown this year because of the midterms and the Democrats didn't have anything else. He said, no, they're not going to do it. They can't. And then after a few months, I said, you know what? I think Luke's right. They're pulling the lockdowns back. I still think it would be a stretch that they would lock down over this. But when you've got a virus and they're going around saying a 10% mortality rate, I wonder if they'll actually try and pull off another lockdown.
I think we need to take all potential pandemics very seriously, but the issue here right now is that the trust in the CDC is at an all-time low, so I think information surrounding this virus is going to be very untrusted, and maybe rightfully so. Again, we already have like a Wikipedia page about this. I think at one point it said it's endemic in Nigeria.
Well, some people from Nigeria have gotten it, but the West African clade of the monkeypox virus is what they're saying now.
Yeah, so I remember thinking originally when they had like the 14 days to stop the spread that we wouldn't be able to sustain that, and our public wouldn't be able to, you know, wouldn't put up with that. And I was so off base with what that was. So I don't know what's going on with this. What do you guys think?
Well, I think people should learn enough from past 2 years. What is our trust level today on the media or our government agencies, right? It's very low. And I still have lots of questions never got answered. And we're still waiting for more and more evidence, more truth to come out. And this kind of stuff, you know, like we have always left, you know, with lots of stuff in the past. And then people are ready to move on, have no more life back. There's still lots of mental health issues our children, our people have not even got resolved yet. I have a friend who's got long COVID. She cannot have solutions. She's still coughing. So I'm just not ready for this. You know, I hope people will have more questions instead of jumping into what the media is saying, you know.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think a lot of people aren't going to jump to what the media is saying, even if this does turn out to be something substantial and it really is a risk. People aren't going to be willing to trust the media and the CDC, and for good reason, because they spent the last 2 years completely undermining any credibility they may have had with the American people.
I'm just imagining Fauci, you know, when the news broke, he was like, thank you. And he's like, he opens his closet and there's just a whole bunch of different masks.
Puts his top hat on and his cane. He starts singing.
But he's like, he picks out his tie and then he also pulls out all the masks lined up, and there's like different pens. And I'll take this one. And then he puts it on and he gets ready.
And how many people will still call him now? King Fauci. I don't know.
Well, he did say he would resign if Donald Trump got elected.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so everybody was like, okay, hey.
I'll vote for him.
So we'll vote for Donald Trump in 2024 to vote against Fauci and Joe Biden?
Heck yeah.
It's wild. Why would he campaign for Trump like that?
Right. Seriously.
I'm kind of questioning who this could potentially help politically, this becoming a big story in the news.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And the only people I could write, like, initially think that this could help is the people who effed up big time during the COVID pandemic. Mm. And, you know, with certain lockdowns, who does this help? You know, we kind of memory hold, you know, the origin of COVID and holding people responsible for COVID who may have let it out or, you know, helped exacerbate the issue around the planet. So this could potentially help them. I also know it's called monkeypox. So maybe this is just like an anti-monkey lobbyist group, because I know with, you know, the China virus, we were concerned about hate crimes because of that, and now why are they calling this monkeypox? A little bit insensitive.
Well, because it was first isolated in monkeys.
Oh, that makes too much sense.
So I pulled up Reddit.
Well, I was told corona was first isolated in a bat.
That's right.
So
right. So when I pulled up Reddit, you take a look at the comments. Someone comments on why he says, I don't understand why so many comments are being removed. And the response is, all I know is COVID-19 started just like this. News of infections all over Europe, then to the US, but it's contained. And then all of a sudden, bam, lockdown. I expect anything to happen nowadays. And then someone said, well, we have 2 years of contact tracing, so we should be able to easily find out exposure. Oh, yeah, right.
Also, wait, I just want to make a point. I was making a joke earlier, but I actually still want to correct this. I said isolated in a bat. It was never isolated in a bat. They just said it came from a bat when they were talking about COVID.
In New York City, they just changed the COVID alert to high, and people are already prepared to start masking again. So if this spreads even a little bit, some places in the country are willing to lock down over relatively small things again. And are happy to. So.
And China, one quarter of population under COVID lockdown for Omicron. You know, it's like, we'll talk about something else is coming. You're talking about $18 trillion economy in China. One quarter of them are under lockdown. And we're going through food shortages, supply issues, and people have no access to medicine, medical care, and they're committed suicide. Mm. And we don't see the lots of report on that and condemn this kind of inhuman treatment of their citizens. And now we're talking about this. It's like, it's an insane world, you know.
We talked about the rat hope experiment before.
Mm.
So this was where the guy puts the rat in the cylinder full of water. The rat can't get out. And then within 15 minutes, it just gives up and then sinks to the bottom and dies. But then he puts another rat in after right when it's about to give up and it starts sinking. He pulls it out, dries it off, lets it rest, picks it up, puts it back in. This time the rats would swim for an average of 60 hours. Because they thought there was hope that if they just waited, somebody would pull them out. And I'm feeling like this is what we're bumping into. After COVID, you know, we get 2 years of this insanity. Everybody's about to lose their mind. And then all of a sudden everything goes back to normal. Now you get monkeypox. And what's to say? I'm not saying it will happen. If they lock down, people are going to be like, I can handle a lockdown. We know if we just wait long enough, eventually we'll get through this. And then this time it'll be 5 years. 5 years of weird lockdown, people starving, locked in their homes, doors welded shut, like what's going on in China right now?
I know. It's like 2 years ago, right? Wuhan lockdown, like 13 million people. Now Shanghai is 25 million. And the whole country, 45 cities, you're talking about 370 million people under lockdown. And they censor all the information, like how many people are dying of lack of food, medical care, and access to medicine, and how many people committed suicide. There are lots of videos on WeChat. As soon as I get to it, say, no, it's gone. This violates our regulation. It sounds like there's some notice I would get from Facebook, you know. And it's so sad for me to say, because I have lots of friends in Shanghai. I went to college there. I worked there for 7 years total time in Shanghai. And imagine those people who supported economic reform, had a good life and retire now, and they have money and they cannot buy food. And I have one friend even commented, I get it now why Americans hold on to their guns. Even Chinese get it now. It's like because they got locked down by the wires, electrical wires on their steps to go out. So they cannot get out, even get some fresh air. And totally rely on government delivery food. Who gets the priorities if you have 25 million people? Of course, people who are high up with connections. It's madness. And the farmers see their vegetable dying of getting rotten because there's a total breakdown between the food supply and to the end user customers. So roads are blocked. You have to have massive testing. So people cannot get to the food. And the people have power. Guess what they do? They hoard food or they sell for very high prices. Mm-hmm. And those people who wear white clothes, you see all those terrible videos. Guess their new names? It's a white guards. Instead of red guards under Mao's China.
Oh, wow, yeah.
White guards. Yes. And they're total nuts. Very thuggish. One girl was raped by leaving alone. Yeah. And the white guard come in and not just raped her, but also kill her. Mom is like, please help. My daughter is dead. And it's like, it's so heartbroken. You know, that's why I'm running. I don't want this ever come to America.
I think New Hampshire is relatively safe. But it's mostly because of people like you and the Free State Project, because New Hampshire is moving closer and closer to freedom, further and further away from the establishment, the authoritarianism. But I would not be surprised if we got a lockdown out of this. And it's early. This could be a blip, and then within a week, there's no story, it's gone, and it was like false alarm, everybody. I just kind of feel like when I saw that they already made a Wikipedia entry for it, I'm like, somebody with time and energy decided to make an entry for an outbreak when we're at 34 cases. Is that really a global outbreak? Is that, I guess so. So, I just wonder.
Yeah. Well, the plan is a lot bigger than just, oh, recently it showed up in Wikipedia. Think about the former KGB guy, Yurin, what he said 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. He died, and he said, the communists will infiltrate into America and they're gonna take 2 generations to bring down United States of America. Why 2 generations? He said, well, you got to have 4 steps. Number one step is demoralize a society, then destabilize it. Then you go through crisis and crisis situations. Then you're trying to normalize it. But when they're trying to normalize it, your rights and freedom are all gone. It's their normalization. I'm terrified to say, oh, this craziness going on in the world. I know New Hampshire is great. That's why I moved there. But I'm worried about the whole country because I have 3 children who were born in this country. They're living in other states right now. Yeah.
I'm not sure we can pull back. I think maybe we've gone off the edge of the cliff a long time ago. And now it's a free fall, right? With just, we've been demoralized. Now we're destabilized. And I don't think there is a coming back because there's just too many people in this country that don't care to know, but want power. And when you take ignorant people, lazy ignorant people, who desire power because they think they're smarter than you, they destroy things. These are the kind of people that, you know, we're in a car and we're driving straight towards the edge, about to go off the cliff. And you got the person on the right side and the person on the left side. And the person on the right keeps saying, stop. Turn, turn, turn. The person on the left is like, no, I'm right. I know what I'm doing. And then straight off the edge of the cliff.
But their part of the plan is called indoctrination of the youth, take away parental rights. Kids belong to the state and believe in Marxism and socialism and free stuff. And guess who are they today? Social justice warriors, work activists, or whatever you call them. I don't know. It's really, we have to blame ourselves, our educational system, really, when you think about it. Hong Kong people, young people go out to risk their life, to protest, want the democracy, want freedom, and even want the Second Amendment. Our young people are here, please, have more gun control, take my guns away.
Well, I agree, and sadly, it's not just the young people, it's the older people who don't really care about the young and aren't really interested in protecting the youth. So, for example, we have a CDC report which said youth suicide attempts soared during the pandemics. I mean, you lock kids in their homes, you take away normal social settings and situations, they're going to be more likely to get depressed. We also know that they had mask mandates for children. In New York, children were the last people who were still required to wear masks.
They're still required to wear them now.
Right now, exactly.
Yeah.
And so adults aren't doing their responsibility in protecting children from this kind of stuff.
And you would think those are the most vulnerable of our society, little young kids who don't know what's going on, lose valuable time of learning years. I heard kids who are under four, they lost 2 years to speak properly because everybody's wearing masks and, you know, hide their faces, cannot develop the social skills. And they're going through speech therapy right now. It's like even an article published by the Atlantic. It's like, my kids need speech therapy.
Exactly. And so I think we've seen this. One of the strategies of the communist movement is to try to break down the family. And so it's going in both directions. Firstly, you see it is very much the case that children don't respect their parents anymore, and they look to the states to find solutions. They look to the state to find solutions to problems rather than to the family structure. And also, of course, as I just mentioned, parents are not really interested in protecting their children either. This really goes in both directions. The family has very much been chipped away at from every angle.
I want to make a point on that, but I do want to make a point on the speech thing real quick. You ever watch a TV show and the volume is just a little too low, but you can tell what they're saying by how their mouth is moving?
Yeah.
And then you like look down at your phone and now all of a sudden the clear words become that seeing the mouth movements really does. We are verbal and visual communicators, vocal and visual. And all these kids now, these little kids, all they saw was masks. So their brain was like not getting the full communications experience. Now these kids, like you mentioned, they're in therapy or they're going to grow up and they're going to be stunted.
Yeah.
So going back to what you were saying about the family, I mean, absolutely. And I agree that a lot of parents, well, I'll say it myself. I don't think a lot of parents care about their kids.
No.
I think they care about them in a superficial way. But I'm surprised to hear these stories every day where it's like, look, we had this video from Libs of TikTok where a mother says, my 15-year-old daughter was given pornographic material to do an assignment on, and she was mortified. And when she tried reading the assignment, they told her to stop talking because it was too vulgar for the meeting. And this is like the fifth story we've seen about this. And she was like, my daughter was given this. Where were the other parents? Huh. Why was just this one mother speaking about this? Where were – how many parents – how many kids are in a school, right? You've got what, 1,000 maybe? Or more, shouldn't there be hundreds of parents showing up being like, why were my children given this? No, they're not showing up. They have no idea. It's insane to me. Just look, I get it. I don't have kids, but when I grew up, my parents asked me about school all the time. How was school? What did you learn? And they would ask me questions and they would give me answers. Just the idea that you'd come home and they'd be like, meh, and have no idea what the teachers were grooming you for.
I know, it's sad that when we raise our three children, you know, they went to public school and in Douglas County, Colorado. We know that we have to have family dinner together every night, and then we talk to them about school, and then we ask them actually tough questions. So they have to tell us what's going on, what the teacher taught them. So we have to basically deprogram them. You have to do this as families. You know, if you cannot afford private school, you cannot afford a homeschool, you got to have a conversation with your kids. You know, you cannot just treat school as babysitters. Go to school hours, hours long, then we do our business, we do our work, and the kids come home. There's a very funny meme, like some kids go to college at the age of 18 and come back look like total Karl Marx.
Well,
here goes your student loan money, you pay for it.
I wonder if it's a communist plot or if it's just dominoes falling over.
Yeah.
If you look at the 70s with women's liberation, right? A lot of people don't understand. I think it was 1974. Pre-1974, women couldn't get credit cards without their husband's signature. So it's like, you're not married? Too bad. Something like that. Fact check me on that one.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of those stories. But we do know that in the late 70s, more and more women started to enter the workplace. All of a sudden, the workforce doubles. Well, if the supply of workers doubles, but the demand stays the same, workers are going to be losing out because they have no negotiating power. All of a sudden now, women who could work, didn't have to, now have to, because wages are stagnant and now you need two incomes to support your family. Now, without anyone to take care of the family, you need somewhere to put your kids. But you can't afford daycare, so public schools come around. Now your kids are handed off to the state. The next step is these kids are raised by the state employees, like literal agents of the state, and they grow up. Now you've got the millennial generation, which is split between many, I don't know, average people, and then a whole bunch of pro-government socialist kids. I'm not going to call them adults. They're old children. We'll call it that. And now they're advocating for an expansion upon the government controlling more and more your lives. But why? They were raised by the government. They weren't raised by their parents. They were raised in government institutions. That's freaky to me.
And their teachers are trained by Marxist professors in teachers' colleges. You know, how many teachers' colleges in the country? So those teachers can become our kids' teachers. And when I go to school, talk about Cultural Revolution, how many people died under Mao's communism, and all the details, horrors. Some teachers who are Democrats said, oh, Lily, we never knew that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So if they don't know, how do they teach our kids real history? Or is that their like a left side of story of history? 100 million people died under 100 years of communism. And some people will say, they did not do it right. They did not do the socialism communism. Like, how many people are you going to experiment with this ideology?
I wonder if you get Bill Gates in private, you know, and he knew that he was safe, what he would say about the communist dictatorships. He's a guy who's given talks saying we need to reduce population growth. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, because certainly the communists effectively reduced population growth, you know, by exterminating hundreds, 100 million people, which is horrifying.
And then their one-child policy as well.
Right.
And starving to death.
I'm not accusing Bill Gates of anything. I'm genuinely curious what he might think of that. Because if he's a utilitarian, and he seems to be, I'd imagine he'd be like, well, you know, positive outcome, I guess.
By the way, I just want to mention, so I did just a little bit of Googling here since you mentioned the thing about women not being able to get credit cards. What I'm reading is that it was the case that before there was an anti-discrimination law, a bank could deny them a credit card. I'm not sure how often it happens. Yeah. One website is saying that they could face a barrage of questions when trying to get a credit card that men wouldn't face, but I'm not like seeing any numbers on how common it was.
But also, people need to understand this, because I see feminists say all the time, they're like, did you know that women couldn't get credit cards unless their husband signed off on it? It's like, did you know that women mostly weren't working? So the bank would be like, how do you intend to pay for this? And they'd be like, my husband has a job. And they'd be like, okay, well, then your husband needs to certify this. That doesn't sound as nefarious now, does it?
Yeah. To follow up on those millennial parents, I think feel like there's a few things at play here. First of all, there's more single parents than ever before, and I feel like millennials have become more willing to embrace that. And another video that I saw from Libs from TikTok, who's doing an extraordinary job and probably one of the most influential people in our parts of the political space, but it was this one mother in a dressing room with her child. You guys know what I'm talking about
horrible.
With this dress?
Horrible.
And at the end of every sentence she would say, she would just be like, right, you love this dress, right? Like, you picked out this dress, wow. Right? Like, you feel good in that. You want to buy this dress. They make fun of you at school. You know they make fun of me too. And then it like pans to herself and it's her smirking. So it's like a lot of these single, I don't know if she's a single parent, but it's a lot of these single parents, these millennial people projecting their beliefs onto their children. And it was a non-binary looking type millennial mother. And they're just so willing to experiment. And also like this idea that wearing dresses makes you a girl. And like a child would understand that as a concept, that wearing a dress makes you think you somehow want to transition to a girl, is so crazy and unfathomable unless you project so much of your gender ideology onto this child. Well, but crazy video.
Also, I mean, if she's not a single parent, that father should be unbelievably ashamed. I mean, functionally she is.
I just want to say, I feel bad for people who didn't have two parents. I mean that genuinely. I know people who were in single family homes, and I'm just like, the people that I knew who grew up with just their dad or just their mom, and their parents are good people trying really, really hard. They did not have that two-parent privilege, we'll call it.
It's twice as much time, twice the income.
Mm-hmm. It's learning how to bake cookies with your mom. It's playing ball with your dad, or playing ball with your mom and baking cookies with your dad. Maybe your dad's a famous chef or baker. Mm-hmm. Maybe your mom's a sports manager or, you know, in business.
Or she's a stay-at-home mom who's giving you individualized attention and caring for you.
I remember... You know, just I could not imagine not having a mom and a dad.
You know, how high is a talk about Black Americans and their family destructions and cause their kids no role models in the home, no dads, live on welfare. You know, I heard it's like 70% of, Black family households are led just by single mothers. Where are the fathers? And where are those role models for their children? Those young boys, they're stuck in inner schools, and they have no way to get a quality education because Democrat control the school district do not allow school choice. And then they get bored and they have no interest in school. And they become gangs and they get arrested and thrown into jail for years and years. It's horrible. But they don't talk about this when they talk about Black Lives Matter. Let's talk about the cause of their poverty and their high crime rate.
The opposition of school choice is one of the most shocking things to me, because I'm confused. You've got a low income neighborhood of any race, and the parents are like, we have no choice but to send our kids to a low income school with low income teachers with no resources. With school choice, they could literally just go to the next town over, which may be wealthier, and be like, we choose this school. And then that money goes to the school and the school gets bigger. And the good schools then grow and can bring in the lower income kids into the better schools. Why do they oppose that?
Well, because lots of teachers' unions oppose to it. So when people say, we really worry, concerned for the people of color. Well, in Democrat controlled cities, states, they are in the pockets of teachers' unions and who donate lots of money for their re-elections, right? And the teachers union, you see how they behave during the COVID. They want to use the school reopening as a negotiation condition to say, you kids are not going to come back to school until we get what we want in Los Angeles. It's all Marxist agenda.
Exactly.
It's horrible.
It's such an incredibly powerful union because they can literally keep your children hostage. They say, well, we're not going to be giving them an education unless you meet our demands. And it's really unfortunate because I am not against collective bargaining. I think unions can be great. The teachers unions are not. They are the perfect example of how it can absolutely become the case that a union just ends up being an organization which protects the weaker workers from the better workers who would outperform them and receive more promotions. And so when you see them opposing school choice, my thought is these teachers are constantly complaining about lower wages. Well, wouldn't it be the case that if we had school choice and educational institutions had to compete for students, they would also have to compete for good teachers so that they can ensure a decent educational quality and get kids to go there. So if you are a good teacher, school choice isn't a threat because good schools will want you and you'll have more options as well outside of the public school system.
Give you an example, D.C. Teachers Union shut down the very popular charter school in D.C. because all the Black families and children, they're waiting in long line to get into this charter school. But they shut that down. Do they really care about people of color, like they claim? And they're trying to teach critical race theory into all 14,000 school districts. Say that you're oppressed if you're people of color. But do you really care about people of color to strive to get out of poverty, except sitting there being oppressed and say we are victims? If you really care about them, then you got to lift them up by having educational choice for parents, for kids. I feel very strongly about it. It's my top three issues. Defend the parental rights and parental choice. Otherwise, you know, those kids are stuck in the inner poor performing schools and there's no competition. And you can throw all the money you want to from taxpayers at it. And they do not improve in terms of testing schools, testing scores and the quality education. At the same time, they're taught, equity. So government gave me some. Yeah. How do they take a personal responsibility to become like entrepreneurs, become good in math and ratings and science? And they're competing with other country kids for lots of good jobs right now. But instead, they're focused on, you know, crap they're teaching school.
Yeah. Moreover, the way that they're saying that they're helping these students are actually hurting. It's coming at the cost of other students. So a lot of ways that they're saying they're helping black and brown people in these communities is by getting rid of the upper class classes, the honor classes, because they say that it racially divides children because more in white Asian tend to be in the honors classes. And therefore, if we see any, you know, not a direct reflection of population in class sizes and how it's distributed, it's automatically racist. So what do they say? They just get rid of the honors classes, and then they say they're helping everybody, but really it just comes at the cost of our best students.
That's why aging American families are geared moving into more and more voting for Republicans, because they value education, they value their kids and quality of their education. Now they say all this stuff, my kids' AP class is canceled, and also aging children, when they're trying to apply for Harvard, Yale, they get discriminated because there's quotas. They're too excellent. You cannot go you have to wait at the bottom of the line once the quotas is gone. And the DOJ dropped a lawsuit against Yale when the aging parents sued Yale to say, you're discriminating against our kids based on skin color because they're aging. But instead of look at the individual meritocracy, which this country is supposed to be, and the left will say, oh, you agents are too rich. Oh, it's about a class, economical class. Mm-hmm. It's a classical Marxist theory there is, we have highest income in the country than white. So now in Washington State, if you are aging children, you're supposed to go to the white group because you make too much money.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think part of this is a symptom of how completely economically illiterate the left is. So it seems to me as if they more or less see the economy as something which serves us by giving people busy work to keep them focused on other things all day. They don't actually understand how supply chains work. That's part of why they had no apprehensions about shutting the entire economy down. They don't understand where goods and services really come from, and the fact that the work people do in our economy is important. And so they will look at any particular field and they'll say, we need to make sure that this is equitable. We need to make sure that we see a perfect demographic breakdown of the population here. Otherwise, it's unfair. Instead of going, given that the purpose of an economy is to deliver goods and services, these people are in this field because they found their way there because they're best at doing it. And maybe it is better for us to have people who are good at jobs do them instead of shoehorning people into positions or out of them based on their ethnic identity. And one more thing I want to mention is the left has constantly claimed that they are the party and the ideology of education and higher learning. Firstly, they have flat out lied about that for years. They've claimed that we're constantly slashing funding for education. It's literally not true. Federal spending per pupil has increased every single year since 1970. Test scores have not increased. And by the way, that's an increase in funding adjusted for inflation as well. And so with all of this extra money we've been spending on education at the federal level, what are they doing? Like you said, cutting gifted classes, giving fewer children opportunities to excel. It's sickening.
It's interesting because we keep hearing about this potential Asian backlash against the Democratic Party, but I don't know if it's ever come to fruition, because these cases against like Yale and Harvard have been going on for, I feel like, almost a decade now. We're also seeing hate crimes towards Asians in a lot of different communities that we're waiting to see this backlash from, also on the education front. But I don't know.
Well, what percentage of the United States is Asian?
I think it's relatively small, but in certain areas they have, I think they're gathered around the coasts mostly, so in specific areas they might have outsized influence. As I understand, in New York City and Chinatown, Asians are, the Chinese specifically, are some of the least politically involved. And they don't refuse to vote, but they just don't. And it's interesting because there's a lot of reasons for that. The system that they came from in China, obviously they didn't have the opportunity to vote in the past. Also, there's this language barrier that exists still in a lot of these Chinese immigrant communities. So there's a lot of factors
7%.
Going on. 7%.
7%.
In New Hampshire is aging Americans is 3%, but it is the second largest minority group.
So I'm not sure that the Democrats are worried about 7%. Yeah. When they were talking about, Bill Maher was talking about student debt forgiveness. Bill Maher said 13% of Americans have student debt, not a large group. And he's outright saying, like, why would we be focused on this 13%? Well, Asians are 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly think the Democrats don't care. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned this on the show many times. When I was younger, I was told never to check Asian off on any form when I asked for my race, because I was told you will be discriminated against based on the assumptions they make about Asians. So you're better off just putting, you know, white down or something.
But they use us when they want to advance their agenda called stop aging hate.
Right.
You know, white are racist. White supremacists are attacking Asians. According to DOJ data, 2018, most crimes happened against the Asians. You know what? They're people of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Asians are also scared to talk about this. One rep, his name is John Liu, in Lower Manhattan. I've spoken to him about this. And what did he say when he was trying to address these hate crimes? He was telling me about like education classes. Mm-hmm. I also think there's an issue here with influential Asian people in the culture, in media, unwilling to call out this crime specifically because they're scared to get labeled, racist. Mm-hmm. And, it's a sad fact of reality.
Well, it's very sad for me. I have been telling people, I see similarities between Mao's Cultural Revolution and with what's going on in today's America. And instead of we use, classes here, just use races. It's everything's about race. Everything's about your skin color instead of your diversity of ideas and thoughts, personality and skills and knowledge, right? I love diversity, like you said. You know, we are part of diversity, but they only talk about diversity of the skin color, which is wrong.
And also, not only that, they only talk about diversity of skin color when they consider it to be advantageous to them, or diversity of ethnicity when it's advantageous to them. We were just mentioning the fact that they want fewer Asian students in universities. And you mentioned the Asian hate and that there's hate crimes against Asians. Well, this is just the inevitable byproduct of critical theory as applied to race. When you spend decades telling the black community that the white community is only successful and only doing well because they have stolen something from you, that instills in the psyche of the general public that if any group of people is outperforming another group of people, it is because they have victimized that group.
Yep.
So the inevitable conclusion from that kind of logic is that Asian people have cheated in some way. So the expectation is that we would see more crimes against them. Mm-hmm. It's horrific, but it's an insane ideology based on greed and envy, and it is to blame for these hate crimes. There's no question about it.
You know what's really funny? That there are stereotypes and tropes about Asian parents.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. You watch any comedy show and the Asian parent is demanding of their kid to get better grades. You know, a Futurama had the joke. I think it was Futurama. Are you a doctor yet? Or was that, what was it? No, it was a different show. Anyway, the point is,
It might have been Futurama.
Oh yeah, if you don't get a straight A, you better explain to your parents why you did not get a straight A. My kids will complain about me.
There's what they call positive discrimination stereotype against Asians, that the Asian parent is a strict academic. And then all of a sudden they're like, how come Asians make more money? We should imagine this. Your parents are strict and tell you to work hard, study hard, and get into the best school, so the school says, make it harder. So what? What's the outcome then? The parents should be like, it doesn't matter if you work hard because the school's not going to let you in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the scores start dropping, they'll be like, ah, okay, now we can let them back in because they're not doing as well. It's insane.
The thing is, though, and traditionally, culture-wise, that the Asian parents always value education because that's the only way they can get out of poverty. Look at the Chinese people who come from China, like me, who started with nothing. And because of the education, the skill, the degree we got, we get good jobs, we start our own business, we work our butt off and to achieve American dream. We're not rich. We have no connection in this country. We have no social status. We have no inheritance money in this country. It is a hard work ethics make us successful. And you, I have seen parents from China running a restaurant. Look how hard work that is. 7 days a week, no vacations. They send their kids $50,000 a year to Harvard. And now there's like, oh, my kids cannot get in no matter how high their ACT is. And now even take ACT might be racist.
Now this is a question I would love to see.
It is, by the way.
We have the trope of the student going to college and then coming back with their head shaved and purple hair. What would happen to a kid who's in an Asian family? The Asian parents are very strict, saying, you better score really high in the SATs. You're going to go to Harvard. And then they score really, really well, and they're wearing like a suit and tie, and they go off to the university and then come home to their Asian family with their head shaved, purple hair, and they're wearing like cut off sleeves and like sweatpants. And they're like, whatever, Dad, I don't care anymore. Call me Janet.
I want to mention, you said that something about the ACTs. There are SATs. There are people who consider the SATs and ACTs to be racially biased, so they are considered racist as well.
You know, I'm
any disparity that exists. But
here's something you might not know. Canceling academic achievement excellence is what Mao did during China's Cultural Revolution. One guy, after Cultural Revolution, like a school reopened, he was taking a test. And he said, oh, I don't care about this. I'm going to turn in my test blank. So he got a big zero, right? Guess what? He's a glorious. They made him a hero. And his name is Zhang Tiesheng. I remember that very well. So now I'm seeing the same thing happen in this country. Canceling individual excellence in academic, in science, in art, in comedy shows. Can you say why I'm warning people this is a cultural revolution happening in America?
Yeah.
The scary stuff.
Tim, you mentioned how a lot of these Asian immigrants' parents are sending their kids to college. They're coming back head
no,
shaved.
No, I'm not saying they are. I'm saying I wonder what that – like, it's one thing if you're a liberal, you know, American, and your kid comes back and they're doing all of these things and they believe all this weird stuff. And these liberals are going to be like, oh, very progressive of you, honey. But for like a strict conservative Asian parent, for that to happen to their kids, they might be like, what?
I'm not saying this is the exact same thing, but I want to draw a parallel. But the Cultural Revolution was actually led by the youth, right? In China's
Red Guards.
The Red Guards were all the youth in the schools that were the leaders of this. So that same parallel that we're seeing in the universities that happened in China, we are seeing to some degree here as well. Because kids are going to college, becoming more indoctrinated, coming back to their home, and the parents don't understand what their kids came.
But they don't know the history. That's what I'm saying. They even don't know they were.
Well, some of them praise it. I know people who think what's happening in China and what's happened in the past is a good thing. I know people online on Twitter. I feel like it's easy to find people denying that the Tiananmen Square massacre even happened. So we do.
If they were in this country, they even deny that. It's like we should shoot them a tank, man.
So you. We've heard a lot of stories about Chinese spies coming to the United States and taking action against Chinese citizens who are now living in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything happened to you? I mean, you're running for office. You're gaining a lot of influence. You believe in freedom. You're speaking out against the CCP quite a bit. Is this something you've noticed?
Well, my last time, honestly, went to see my family and friends in China was 2015. I bought air ticket to go back 2019, but by then I was already big on social media and going to schools, educate people about horrors of communism, and somehow they found my English page and they started to come to my social media, threaten me and said, you better not ever come back to China. So 2019, I wasn't running for anything. I was just an educator, an inspirational speaker. So I told my husband, he said, you better not go back by yourself because I have to work and we were getting ready to move to New Hampshire. If you disappear, they let you in, they don't let you come back. What am I going to do? So I wasn't anybody. So I was just like small cabbage, not famous. And I said, okay, I'll cancel my trip. So, and now I'm running as a Republican candidate and still be consistent, speak out against CCP. When I was giving speech in Utah near Salt Lake City, one Chinese man showed up in his 30s and paid $75, taped my whole talk, then tell people at the table, you are all being brainwashed by her. Our leaders in China are not elected. They are like our fathers. So that table people told me later, Lily, did he come to say hi? I said, no, I never met him. I don't know who he is. And I tell my Chinese friends, Of course, he's a spy. Don't put your location on social media so they can show up and troll you. And the worst comes, they can attack you. So now I say, okay, like, I didn't tell people I'm coming here today, tonight, until afterwards, you know. It's, well, I feel like I have friends worry about my safety. And they say, don't run for Congress, do something else. I say, well, if I want my message to be heard by people in this country and the free world, even people who are voices inside China, I'm the best person to tell the truth and speak truth to the power. Just keep that in mind. They've been targeting me and trying to discredit my campaign and call me a China spy.
Wow.
And so I was telling Tim, like, just believe me. I will never disappear, okay? And I will never kill myself. I don't have any mental health issues. Yeah.
Can we also get your reaction to the church shooting that happened in California from this apparently guy who I'm reading from the Taipei Times right now that says the suspect was tied to a pro-Chinese group and there was this heroic Taiwanese man. He was this doctor who rushed the shooter. This has gotten a lot less coverage than other mass shootings that have occurred. So could you?
It's a Chinese against Chinese, right?
Well, it's Taiwanese.
Taiwanese, yeah. No, but they speak Mandarin too.
Asians aren't a monolith.
Yeah, right. So. They don't report it. What happens is that I'm saying that they have infiltrated into this country since Confucius Institute started like 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. The last one just closed on campus of University of New Hampshire, mm-hmm. like end of last year. And they were allowed infiltrate into our schools and colleges to indoctrinate our children, make China look glorious. And also the Chinese newspapers can distribute to our Congress people in the Capitol Hill long ago called the People's Daily. They pay money to put that newspaper insert into our newspaper here in the United States, give to our Congress people. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about infiltration. I have a Chinese human rights activist. He almost got killed in California.
Wow.
Recently, 5 Chinese spies were indicted by DOJ. 3 were arrested. And one of them is American, not even Chinese. So don't assume they're just like look like me. They don't. They are everywhere. Not a few years ago, I read an article. There were over 30,000 CCP spies. All shapes and all colors, all people.
And there is something to say, too, about the amount of Chinese immigrant students that come here just for a few years and end up going back and forth for a bit. I know COVID did put a little bit of a dent in that, but this is only the spies that we know about. If we can only imagine how many of these that we don't. So.
Well, some of them, there are 2 kinds of students. One come by themselves on their family money, their own money. Another kind is sent by the government and together even and paid by the government. And they have duty to go back and to bring all their knowledge. So think about all the potential economic espionage working in our laboratories and steal the secrets from the high-tech companies and take back to China. And I think the national security people are aware of this, but it's still mind, you know, like confusing to me who let those people come in here into our schools, into the, like Harvard, for example, took a lot of money. Also from China, they did not even report to the Department of Education. You're supposed to report if you take foreign money.
And
you know?
I think Xi's daughter actually went to Harvard, if I'm not mistaken.
They are well
can somebody
connected.
Fact check me on that?
Well connected, yeah. Right?
It's interesting how Xi didn't choose to go to any, you know, Shanghai University. She chose Harvard University.
And they even recruit talent. There's called a talent recruiting program in the world by Xi. And they remember our athletes competed for China team during the Winter Olympics.
Right.
Yeah. And she might even maybe choose dual citizenship, even though China do not allow dual citizenship. Well, I don't know if they're going to make exception for her or not. Well, and her mom is from China.
I thought, didn't she resign? Like, she renounced U.S. citizenship to compete for China or something like that?
Yes, Wen Gu, I think. Yeah.
And she screwed up really bad and cried. Was that her or was that someone
else? It was 2 different girls.
Oh, okay.
One recruited by Chinese to compete for China and she got so much shame. She was crying because she made a mistake. She did not win any medals. Another one won the medal, looked like a star and get paid probably $30 million endorsement money. And mom is from China who wanted her compete for Chinese team. And, you know, I just wonder, maybe many years later, interview them again. So what do you think about China today? How are you trading now? I will not blame her if she goes by China. They're living there for a few years, especially during this lockdown. Maybe she'll change her mind already.
Yeah. I think it's important to mention, too, that athletes and famous people in China don't have any freedom of speech. And if they do speak out in the government in any capacity, people will come for them. So one famous case that's kind of been memory hold is the case of Peng Shuai. She's one of the most famous tennis stars as a household name. There in China, she came out with accusations against one of the party leaders
Me Too movement.
In the Chinese version of the Me Too movement.
Right.
And she has been put on lockdown, essentially. And like, you'll see, because there's been a couple of times where they put her on camera in the most ridiculous scenarios. I don't know. China has not learned how to, you know, prop their videos very well. They do their fake videos very well. But you could tell she's timid. Everything's planted and staged. And Jack Ma is also this very famous guy. He was
a billionaire.
He was outspoken for a little bit as China looked like it was liberalizing a little bit. But then we haven't heard from Jack Ma in years. And this was one of the most famous guys there. And nobody talks about him anymore. Jack Ma.
It's not just celebrities, but religious leaders. Yes. Cardinal Joseph Zen was just arrested in China. I mean, this is an extremely high ranking person within the Catholic Church.
Yeah, Pope made a deal with Beijing.
Yep.
In order for the Catholic Church to exist in China, Pope will allow Beijing to nominate three bishops for China. Maximum three. If after three nominations China's not happy, guess what? We are gonna pick one. Mm. It's all those deals and going
very
on. Yeah.
Horrible deal.
Yeah, yeah. I think horrible the whole deal. World should stand up firm against CCP. It has been evil and conditioning Chinese, enslave them with their consent by controlling all the press, all the media, all the military, all the natural resources, all the schools. They control everything. It doesn't matter if you're billionaire or not. If you say something, criticize China regulators, some stupid economical laws or something, retire, donate to charity, and do not travel.
Any threat to the legitimacy of the government, the Chinese government, they will completely...
Yes.
I saw a great viral post. I forgot the guy, so forgive me for not crediting you. But he said, you know how sometimes countries are bad, they get worse, and so you flee them to somewhere safe? Imagine now that bad government was the entire planet, and that's globalism. So imagine there's nowhere to go. And that's what's scary about the idea of Chinese expansion. The CCP, I'm sorry, the communist
expansion.
That's how
I feel. I have no place to go. I'm fighting here. I'm not going to be like my mother who begged in China before, get down on her knees. And that's why I have this. That's why I have this. My AR-15. Anyway, anybody donate $200, you get a signed copy. I will mail to you. And I need help. I have no place to go, Tim. I don't know where I can go. And I even don't know when I can go back to China to see my family and friends. And I don't talk to them about the politics. Some of them are still brainwashed to cheer for the regime. How sad is that? I have one family relative tell me to take 1 minute to remember cheer my mom when he had his birthday every December. Your great leader's gone. Let's take 1 minute silence to remember him. She had no idea how many people he starved to death, he murdered. They still don't know because that's how they enslave people, by control all the press, all the media, and all the propaganda. So people still saying kumbaya. I have friends who are locked down for 2 months in China, in Shanghai, and they still tell me, don't tell Americans. Well, fine. Don't say anything bad.
We've seen the videos over the past several years of people screaming at night. When they go out in their balcony, you hear everyone screaming. They're locked in their homes. There's a photo, a guy took his refrigerator, opened it, and pushed it on his balcony because he's got no food. And they're going to act like everything's okay, like the government is.
And not only that, our media is also going to act like everything is okay. Yep. It's not just them, it's us.
Well, maybe it's communist infiltration.
Yep.
Well, Dad, look at what happened in Australia, what happened in Germany today, and what happened to Canada. You know, the truckers' freedom. Mm. They have to do this vaccine passport to travel, to ship goods. What's going to happen now that those people who lose their jobs, lose their careers, and if you dare not to, comply, we freeze your bank account. Mm.
I think the zero COVID policy in China also speaks to the fragility and insecurity of the communist Chinese government right now. They know that even if there is a small outbreak, they do not have the hospital capacity right now to deal with any sort of outbreak there, and that will threaten the legitimacy of the CCP that has been dwindling. Moreover, they have a Sinovax right now. Their vaccine is trash compared to our vaccine, so one plus one for our pharmaceutical.
Socialist medicine. China has a socialist medicine. I had a friend entrepreneur wanted to get into hospital reform, have a half and private, half even government hospital. They destroyed everything he owned. He totally failed on that project, almost just become totally poor again. It's horrible. They control certain industries. Healthcare is one of them. They do not want you to use a free market a little bit to build more hospitals, more clinics, let doctors privately practice. No, it's totally regulated. So when you have such a big aging population, right? People are getting old. And the one-child policy, sometimes you cannot even take care of you like both very old parents. And you rely on healthcare, but then you don't have a hospital capacity. And now nurses, doctors are going out doing madness, massive testing, you know. And by the time you want to go to the hospital, they're going to make you wait 4 hours until your test is negative to admit you by the time you're dead. I saw this woman deliver a baby without even anything under her butt. No. A baby came out on the road because she was waiting for the test to come back. That's 4 hours wait. I think he has gone total mad. I'm really worried about my family and friends. And also worried about the world economy, the food supply, our supply chains. China poor, like Shanghai is 13% about the export, like goods coming out from Shanghai. It stopped for 2 months. That's why people cannot get their supplies. We need to relook at China in the market, relook at our supply chains. We need to be smart to compete very, competitively in the global economy. Otherwise, we'll rely on those totalitarian regimes. Like you rely on Putin for oil, Venezuela for oil instead of drill in your own country, and buy high prices now, like the Biden administration is doing. Don't you think it's kind of crazy? It just don't make sense at all, but they're doing it. At the same time, they're sending $40 billion printed money to Ukraine. How about Americans who have to pay high prices of gas and diesel? In New Hampshire, diesel is like $6.30 per gallon.
And it's interesting, our money, or our government has been spending billions of dollars on Ukraine. The Chinese government has been spending insane amounts of money buying corn futures in the United States, betting on the price of food here to go up.
So that, who is going to really care about regular Americans live in this country and face all those challenges? And I know it's both Republican and Democrats voted for this. It's kind of sad for me to see. I think that if I do get elected, I probably will join some Liberty Republicans to make some sense. And so we need the people coming in to vote for the primary, vote for Liberty, populist, grassroots candidates who really will speak for the common people of this country. And then instead of, I don't know who they're speaking to, what they're benefiting. Are they benefiting their cronies themselves or industrial complex or what?
Lily, can I follow up?
I want to jump to the story. We often criticize the Great Firewall of China and the manipulation they have on social media and on the internet and the news. People can get access to the Tiananmen Square massacre. Like, you can't find out things about it.
Mm-mm.
We have the story from TimCast.com. Twitter unveils crisis misinformation policy. Content labeled false by the platform will be hidden during catastrophes or emergencies.
Wow.
Yeah, you know exactly where that's going. We've got all these videos coming out of Ukraine. One of them was, I love this news story. It was like cessation of hostilities in Mariupol. And it's like, what does that mean? And then you actually dig into it. And it's like, oh, a surrender from the Ukrainians and victory for the Russians. But they don't want that to be the message that Ukraine is losing. This is what I feared with the U.S. disinformation board, the DHS disinformation board, that the goal was to put out talking points like, here's a list of fake news. Then Twitter could go, we're just taking down things that the government has said is fake news. So the government is working through Twitter to censor information. Now that got shut down. Twitter seems to be, I don't know if that was ever going to happen, but Twitter is moving forward with censorship anyway. Now you're not going to know what's really happening in the world. We are following the footsteps of everything we claim to be against with the Great Firewall of China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I fear the country. I love becoming the country left. That's my campaign slogan, because everything I see is like somebody wants to rule over us and taking the tactics and terms and strategies all straight from a Communist Party's playbook. Who are those people? What do they want? What kind of country we want to live in? I'm terrified that, you know, I don't know.
I think so, when you look at the Project Veritas expose, you start to realize who these people at Twitter really are. Hmm. The true believers, the people, we had that one guy who said they want to change the world. You know, they're here for the mission or whatever. These are cult zealots. This is brainwashed, psychotic cult behavior.
But you know what? Those people don't realize they will be thrown under the bus.
They're the first out.
Yeah, first out.
People need to understand. The one thing that we all understand is that the people who foment revolution are the first to be purged after the revolution. Why? Because the people running the new government know who overthrew the last one. Mm-hmm. They don't want it to happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're already seeing it happen on a smaller scale at the social level. I mean, people who were considered on the left yesterday are being destroyed by the left today. The revolution eats its own children. That's always how it goes.
Yeah, that's why they need to know.
That's why our kids are so important for somebody. Parents should be parents' responsibility if schools are not teaching that a real history. So we do not repeat, you know, this kind of human tragedies. You know, millions and millions are going to die. Already dead. It's like, how come are we just repeating these horrible, horrible stories? And like, I was having like a PTSD last 2 years to see what happened in our country, because it brings back all my horrible childhood memories.
Well, let me ask you, Lily, what can we do in the United States to avoid the fate that your country is experiencing, or the country which you came from is experiencing?
I think we have to start to wake up ourselves. And once we wake up, we need to keep our family, our friends, our neighbors close, regardless political party, regardless who they are. They might be very lefty social justice warriors. I want to go to talk to them. Because when I have a face-to-face talk with people, hopefully they allow me to tell my stories, have a several conversation like we sit down here, maybe they will start wonder, oh, she has a credibility to tell her personal story. Maybe I need to look at a different source of information. Lots of people don't know the truth because they have been conditioned for years to believe in their own source of information. You know, it's like they have this virtue signaling. They think they're right. They think, like, I got demonized all the time to, you know, say I'm an evil Republican. Mm. I'm a racist. I cuddle to the white nationalists or some, all kind of name calling. Those people even don't know me. They even don't know me. Like, they hate my gun picture. They think that, it's like, why are you doing this? That's so scary. I'm a 5'1". Okay, aging woman, what is my leverage?
Can I tell you something funny? So just to the left of where I'm pointing, we have an actual model 1861 Union Civil War rifled musket. Never been fired, mint condition. I'm a fan of history. And it's the least dangerous. It's not legally a gun because you have to, you know, muzzle load it like the old school days. And we've had several guests on this show who are liberal. They won't touch it. They're terrified of it. Without saying who exactly, but I come in here and we have real guns, and I can bring in someone like Thomas Massey, and he's like, oh yeah, wonderful, great. And then we have everything safe, everything secured. We have safes and all that stuff for any real firearm. But the libertarians, the conservatives, are like, they know how to handle it. They know how to be safe. And anybody we're not sure of, we have like a dummy. I always give people something they can't actually fire, give them the rules, and if they handle it improperly, they're cut off. You can't touch any guns anymore. Mm-hmm. But these we have up here are antiques. And when I come in with somebody who's a libertarian or conservative, you know, they'll pick it up. They know the rules. They don't point at anybody, even though this thing is so far from firing. It's you know, not out of the question. Mm-hmm. And then when we have these liberal guests, I'm like, do you want to take a look at the Union Civil War? And they're like, no, I can't touch that. Scared.
See, that's the saying. When I first came to this country, I never touched gun in China. You do feel scared of guns for some reason. because you just have no knowledge how to use it, how to train to use it properly, right? But my husband, you know, from Texas, they took me to shooting range and they show me how to, you know, and, you know, train a little bit. At the beginning, I scare everybody. I just pick up guns, like point at everybody. No, 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 no. It's like, that's the first wrong thing you did. It's like you point at people. I was like, well, I didn't know. Cause I just like, oh, what is this? What is that? So they show me, they train me. And when I first fired a shot, it was shocking to me. It's like, I actually feel very empowered. Empowered. I never had that feeling. Cause like I was just afraid of guns. I was afraid of guns because we're conditioned to believe that.
I think for me, the power was scary. Like, not like I was terrified of it, but I was just like the realization of how much power you actually had at that moment. That no one could say anything to you. And it's like, you have to be responsible.
Yeah.
You have to understand when you're holding that weapon. I think it's funny when people like Joe Biden are like, get a shotgun. And I'm like, wow, really?
Let off three blasts. It's like, what are you talking
about? Yeah, fire
about?
In the air, whatever. It's like, first of all.
You idiot.
So when we went to a range and we had an instructor talking to us, the 12 gauge was the one that actually scared everybody. You know, the 5.56 people were, the AR-15, people were just like, oh, wow, you know, I didn't expect that. But the 12 gauge hurt people's shoulders. And it was like, yeah, the shotgun is probably not the right thing for a beginner. But you get people like Joe Biden and these liberals who don't know anything about guns. And they're just like, you get a shotgun, you're firing it. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Talk to an expert. If you go to your gun store, your firearms dealer, ask them for expertise, and you definitely want to get training, because I'm far from an expert, but, you know, there's a lot of things that I was surprised by.
Does he have a misinformation all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, like on TV.
I want to correct something. I said three blasts. Let me read the full quote from him, just so we can answer that question. Does Joe spread misinformation often? This was him talking to his wife, all right?
I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here.
Walk out on the balcony here, okay?
Walk out, put the double barrel shotgun, and fire two blasts outside the house.
What? Firstly, I mean, without even considering how unbelievably dangerous that is, he said a double barrel shotgun. So waste all of your ammo. Now you have to reload. Also, no, do not aimlessly fire a gun outside of your balcony.
He didn't say point it up.
He said, walk out, put that double barrel shotgun, and fire two blasts outside the house.
What does that mean?
It means the man was slightly less declined cognitively at this point because the sentence structure works, but what he's saying is insane.
I like how he's your double barrel. It's like, okay, I guess.
Do you think Jill carries a double barrel shotgun around?
But also, why would you... He's an old guy. It's like, what is he? Elmer Fudd? I'm gonna get a double barrel for home defense.
So what do you think about Elon Musk said that whoever controls his teleprompter is controlling running this country? It's like, what's that like?
It's funny because it's halfway to the point of saying he's puppeted, but it's also, he called him Ron Burgundy. That if whatever gets written, he says. And it's true. People need to understand this too. One of the reasons Joe Biden will stutter or pause or ramble is because the prompters get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice it with Tucker Carlson. And I maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, having worked with teleprompters, Tucker will say things where he'll be like, now we're hearing that the government wants to allow in illegal immigrants. It's wrong. They shouldn't do that, actually. Mm-hmm. And that last sentence is nothing. He's not saying anything.
It's filler.
Because the prompter's rolling and he needs to say something as the next words come up.
And
so Joe Biden will just be like, oh, you gotta,
Well, and I want to, like, in the quote, Biden, he says he lives in like a wooded and somewhat secluded area before saying this, but still very bad advice. Like,
fire off what you got and then have nothing. And,
yeah. Well, or, I think the middle term is coming. Have you heard they lost, last 10 states who had, primary, I heard there were like a record turnout for the Republican primaries.
Really?
Yes. And Matt Kibbe, Free the People, told me this morning, said, I think it's a message sending out to the whole country. And regardless what the, you know, Democrats are doing, you know, they're trying to use the, you know, like their base and, you know, they're still, I was told, don't go walk to the Supreme Court because there might be lots of protests.
Check this out. We got this from the New York Post. GOP primary turnout suggests red wave in November midterms. Republican primary voters showed up in droves to take part in Tuesday's contests. As of midday Wednesday, Republican voters made up 54.9% of the turnout in Idaho, Kentucky, North Carolina, Oregon, and Pennsylvania, according to data compiled by JMC Analytics and Polling. The figure jumps to 60.9% of turnout when all 10 states that have held primaries so far this year are included. Whoa!
See?
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. In quote, in every state where I've been measuring turnout changes relative to previous midterms, I'm seeing a clear advantage on the Republican side. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Well, so, maybe no matter what they're going to do, that maybe some people are waking up, especially independent. Mm-hmm. Even moderate Democrats, I hope moderate Democrats are saying what they voted for is not what they expect to have.
Look at Elon Musk. He tweeted just the other day that for the first time he's voting Republican. Mm-hmm. People are waking up.
And mm-hmm. I think that's
not that voting Republican is going to save
you. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Absolutely. I mean, vote Republican over Democrat 100%. But, you know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Unfortunately, in the Republican Party, the weakest link is
the
elected leadership. Yeah. And so what I would like to ask you, Lily, is what do you think the Republicans should do if they are able to take power?
I think we should come out strongly to tell people, you know, why we are different from the Democrats Party. So we need to differentiate ourselves. Have you noticed in the past, like 30, 40 years, like everything just shift to the more and more left?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Then what is the difference? So it's like I just get dragged and dragged and everything's going to left. No, we have to say we are the party for small limited government and more freedom for small working men and for Americans first. You have to differentiate yourself. Let's say when it comes to right, I mean, there are lots of, you know, women's issues around. We need to come out publicly support parental rights and also girls' women's sports, right? Mm. There are lots of women who play women's sports. And now it's like they walk. It's basically, it's like, where are the Democrats who are traditionally feminists? Now they're not supporting the girl sports and the, ACLU is quiet about this. I come out of public support girls, women sports. Biological men should not compete in women, girl sports. And how about also in our prisons? You have this woke prison system. If you are prisoner, you are biological male, you say identify as female, you go to woman's room, and you got this woman prisoner pregnant.
Yeah.
How do we protect those women?
Yeah.
So there are lots of things are so confusing, and the left side is not consistent at all when it comes to say, oh, we are actually for women. Yeah, only when it comes to abortion issue, they support women's right to choose. How about other issues? They don't talk about it.
Yeah, when it comes to women's sports, they certainly don't have a right to choose.
Yeah, only when it comes to killing babies. We actually did a cartoon about this exact thing. I want to encourage you all to check it out, but it's leftist rediscovering biology for this exact reason. All of a sudden, well, only women should be able to talk about this. Now they have a definition of womanhood and what a woman is.
Lily, I wanted to follow up with you. I believe earlier you said you were against the $40 billion Ukraine aid that we'd be sending them. As the resident neocon, I wanted to ask you, as Russia continues to be isolated on the world stage, they're more desperate for countries to trade with. One of the countries that is capable and seemingly willing to do so has been China. What would you say to somebody who says that we should support Ukraine so the Chinese understand that whatever they try to do with Taiwan, they're going to face a similar result that is what's going on in Ukraine right now? And that by sending $40 billion to Ukraine right now, Xi Jinping is getting the message that if he messes around in Taiwan, you know, Taiwan might get $80 billion in arms funds. So how would you respond to somebody who says that to stand strong against China, we need to send strong messages to Russia? Because, again, Russia needs China right now to continue surviving. How would you respond to something like that?
They do have alliance and they call each other unlimited partners. Here's what I say. First of all, if I do get elected to office, so what do I swear to protect and defend? It's not foreign countries. It's United States Constitution, right? That's what Rand Paul said. He voted. He said, also think about all of those enemies want to see destruction of America. If we demonize our economy, we become very weak because we are creating money from thin air and inflation goes super high. And then we are putting all those printed money into foreign countries, so like defend Ukraine, even though I'm very sympathetic to our Ukraine people. Then United States is gone. So how can we be the leader in the free world to defend freedom, democracy, if our economy is destroyed?
Absolutely. And if I could follow up there. So the CCP constantly, you know, invades Taiwan's sovereign airspace and their sovereign waters.
Threatening.
So they intrude on these waters, and the United States has helped go through those straits of Taiwan and try to establish some. Mm-hmm. I guess my question here would be, if China did invade Taiwan, do you think that we should send military aid to Taiwan in that situation?
Well, that certainly you will not print all that money to do that big, right? There's so much stuff you can do. I don't understand our leaders. How come are not really push for peace talks? Why?
Sure. But specifically, if China did decide to invade Taiwan, do you think the United States should fund them? As we already work with Taiwan in some capacity, as mm-hmm. we do many of South Korea, Japan, but should we send arms the same way that we are doing so now to Ukraine, to Taiwan, if invaded by China? Because as I see it, without our assistance, again, Ukraine would have fell in 2 weeks, and without our assistance to Taiwan, Taiwan would fall in 2 weeks.
Well, it depends on, like, right now, I think the policy they have, they're kind of wishy-washy. It used to be only one China. Right? Only one China.
One China, Taiwan. Two systems.
Yeah. Well, that did not work out for Hong Kong people. Mm. And so morally and strongly, economically, we have ties with Taiwan. Taiwan has 80% of the world microchip supplies. So, of course, China's eyes on those too. But we should send a very strong message to China now instead of waiting for them to invade Taiwan. The consequences will be unbearable for you. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4. You got to lay out right now preventively. I've been calling on Biden to do that. I will help him if he calls me. And also that when it comes to alliances, you got Japan, Taiwan, all against China. You got India is also and see China as a threat. You have all those aging countries. We need to form alliance with them right now. So prevent China from taking Taiwan. We have been supplying weapons to Taiwan already because we do lots of also trade with Taiwan. But morally, emotionally, you know, we will support Taiwan. But the sense that you don't want to push China to invade Taiwan, you should send them a message now. Say, we're going to do this, this, that. So don't, you know, China, of course, is ruled by Myanmar right now, but also, be honest with you, China's internal economy is weak. And they did a back down even in supporting of Putin because there's some messages to send to China. But when it comes to the, Taiwan, it's kind of funny. And the Chinese people are indoctrinated to say, oh, Taiwan is a part of China. We need to liberate Taiwan at what cost? And they don't know. They're just propagandized. And the Taiwanese people, actually, they see what happened to Hong Kong. They don't want the one country, two systems. Mm-hmm. And I think the good strategy is also for them to stay status quo. Mm-hmm. So you don't push either side. My strategy would be you don't push Taiwan to declare independent. That would just provoke China. Mm-hmm. But you also don't kowtow to China. Let them to do whatever they want. So you need to have some kind of balance. Foreign policy is all about diplomatic balances, alliances, and also negotiate from strength, not weakness. Well, right now, we're not strong.
If right now we got word that China had launched a ground invasion in Taiwan, do you think the U.S. should intervene?
Wait, boots on the ground or send military aid to?
So should the U.S. help in any way? Like, so we've got strike groups. We've sailed through the Strait of Taiwan and stuff with our carriers. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you think if China were to say, you know, like right now the Taiwan sent out an emergency call, China is doing a hard invasion right now. Should the U.S. intervene?
Well, it depends on what you mean, intervene. I do not support we have war with China. I don't. We're not in the position to have any wars. And the Congress should declare war if they are going to declare war officially per the Constitution duties. I have been in this country for almost 34 years, and I have seen endless wars, not declared by Congress, but just by executive branch. And there are some people, like, they always want to, you know, constantly, you know, meddling in the world affairs, where our country is getting weaker and weaker.
So no boots on the ground, but let's say it was a similar situation where we want to send $40 billion worth of arms to Taiwan. What do you think about that?
Well, you can look at the specific numbers, and they already sent lots of money to Ukraine. They ran out very quick. And do we have the list of stuff spent on? And for this bill, people don't have time to read and to debate. Then boom, print out, send to Ukraine. And then how do we keep track? Do you know how much billions of dollars the COVID stimulus money wasted? Even Bill Maher is very upset about that. You know, you think he's a liberal, but he's like, what happens? Why are they still printing money? We cannot even keep track of how many billions of dollars got the fraud, you know, scammed. That's how they handle your money. Mm-hmm.
There are similarities, a lot of similarities between Ukraine and Taiwan. But I also think that there's really big differences, like the already diplomatic ties we have with Taiwan, the already military agreements. The fact that China's not just threatening Taiwan, that they've actually been sinking Vietnamese ships, that they've been threatening war with Australia, that they've been doing essentially drive-bys of Alaskan and Hawaiian waters. So while we do have issues with Russia, the issue with China is very, very similar, but also relatively different. I would probably fall into the, man, I would not want to see a war with China. Mm-hmm. And the conflict would be akin to if Russia and Cuba, like if the U.S., if Russia invaded Guantanamo Bay, or like, not that they really would. It's not the same thing, but the proximity, I mean. So I'd probably say it's a really bad idea if China invaded right now for us to send in physical intervention. At that point, it's like, if it gets to that point, we've lost Taiwan.
Yeah. I think there's there's a lot of issues that are going on here, but also that it would happen quickly.
Right. They would surround it and then they're in.
When despots get desperate to gin up support from their population, they go to war. And many Chinese citizens are primed to believe Taiwan is a part of their country. So in order to drum support in a desperate time, Xi Jinping may launch a bad, strategically poor attack on Taiwan and trying to drum up support at home. I think Putin's also trying to do something similar with that. But Lily, what do you think?
So is Biden.
Yeah. Wow. That's why, you know, I don't know what they did before even Putin went to Ukraine. You know, it's like you saw the signs on the wall. How come there's no negotiations and no, you know, sanctions put into place? I think right now there we got to send a very clear message to China. What's going to happen if you do take this step? And also at the same time, we need to rethink about, you know, make our, country competitive again for all the manufactured jobs that all sent to China before. And it's like, people always blame corporations. Corporations got to make money, right? They got to go where the cheap labor is and cheap goods are. But the thing is, though, they higher taxes in America and also too much regulation. It's like you're pushing private business people out to, you know, source overseas. So if you want to really have a pro-America, you know, like Americans first, then you need to cut the regulations. You need to cut the taxes to bring those jobs home. And why do we want to rely on those countries anyway? Because I think as Americans, we had a delusion about China. Oh, if they just do free market capital, them get rich and they will become democratic country. It did not happen. Yep. It got worse. China's going backwards now. They are talking about this Cultural Revolution 2.0 in China. As I said, white guards, red guards, and Xi Jinping wants people now study Xi's little red books. Remember Mao's little red books? She has Xi Jinping's thoughts.
Yeah.
A red app for you to download on your phone. When you study, pass test, yes, your social credit score go up. That's how they keep track of you. It's a red app.
Yeah, it's very sad, and I think very telling, unfortunately, about American psychology and even American conservatism, that there was a very popular idea that as long as we introduced the mechanisms that would allow China to become more economically prosperous, they would become a country that has values in line with ours, and as well as a country that behaves well and doesn't oppress its own people. There was no reason for believing that, but unfortunately what's happened is people have responded to Marxism by adopting its premises, but trying to argue from a different position. So rather than giving what the conservative or traditional response should have been, which is, well, Marxists are wrong because there's more to the world than what is purely material, and simply having material prosperity does not make a country good or virtuous and doesn't necessarily solve its problems, what conservatives ended up saying was, and what the neoliberal order ended up saying was, well, Actually, it is the case that being materially prosperous solves all of your problems, but capitalism does that rather than communism.
I think we tried to free trade our way into relationships with China and Russia, and like this upcoming era is us seeing that failure at doing so. So the idea was liberalize China, trade with China, ping pong diplomacy, you know, mm-hmm. try to become closer. And then if we're tied together, then there's less risk of a conflict. Germany had the same idea with Russia. Nord Stream 1, let's do another Nord Stream pipeline. For the past decades, people were warning Germany this is going to be used as a political tool against them. Mm-hmm. But no, Germany argued that we need to liberalize free trade with Russia in integrating our societies and our businesses together will help avoid conflict. But we're seeing these despots and authoritarian regimes just use this as a leverage against other countries around the world.
Absolutely. And it's because we don't understand their thinking. So this They're is something naive. Lauren yeah. Southern said on the show, but basically the Chinese government understands the way that America thinks very well. That's why they come out in support of BLM and they say the American police are racist, even though China is a horrifically, or the Chinese Communist Party is a horrifically racist regime.
You know, during COVID shutdown, they kick out lots of black people living in China.
McDonald's banned them, didn't it? There's a viral
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, and there's a sign to say, you cannot go inside a McDonald's to eat.
Worse, they have camps for Uyghurs.
Cultural genocide, that, yes. You know, and
so,
and
speaking of the racist CCP. So.
See, the thing is, our world corporations, like Disney, I mean, they have business with China, and China is actually, you know, very racist country, and they were subject to their rules. But they're doing the totally opposite here. It's like a... there's no consistency. Mm. So it's all follow the money, right? You know, Nike, the same thing. So I don't know. Say China has leverage also against the free world, because lots of free world countries rely on China for supply chains. And they also look at Chinese, 1.4 billion of them. Think about how much money we can make from their market. And the Chinese government knows that. Yeah. They use their leverage to negotiate, to say, hey, if you, support me in the United States, then manage to go to, you know, like China market. You know, BlackRock is managed China's pension funds.
It's interesting that you mentioned that they import most of their resources, but if somebody could fact check me on this, I believe they import 80% of their oil. So a quick blockade with some of our, you know, we have a ton of different, our Navy is the true blue water Navy on the planet. So it was that number?
Well, no, I hear what you're saying. I'm actually looking this up right now.
Another thing is that.
Because the free trade, American free trade has facilitated the CCP in being the country that it's trying to be. So thanks to our ability and allowing free trade to exist on the world's waters, they're able to import and export. They don't need to pay to trust that, you know, the trading will work out. But in the future, as we're seeing, you know, this world order kind of breakdown, we'll be seeing less of that. So
it's not reliable when you have a political dictatorship, right? Even though I love free trade, we all hope that free trade will bring people together and don't fight the wars. But the thing is, when you trade with a dictatorship country like Russia or China, guess what? You get one crazy leader, then it's not reliable all of a sudden. You can have supply chain issues. They can cut you out and they can bully you, and they will use the money they made from you to go expand their power. Have you heard about China Dream?
No.
Xi Jinping has a China Dream. By 2049, China will be number one dominant economical and political military power in the world. How is it going to achieve that? Bring down United States. So why we need to be careful.
There's the old saying, it's attributed to Lenin, though who knows if he said it, that the capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've given away our manufacturing.
Yeah.
Our borders have fallen. And now you have the talk of these big international treaties, which on the surface don't sound all that alarming. And then when you realize that we don't make our own medicine, if China right now just cut us off from manufacturing, we'd be in serious trouble. Like if we actually went to war, we are in trouble. I suppose the neoliberal idea was if we have these trade agreements between nations, the war wouldn't happen. But all that happened was China started using it to manipulate us.
Mm-hmm.
This, put us at risk.
This next era of the supply chains completely breaking down and countries having to self-produce or just with their allies is going to have huge consequences. Lily, you mentioned earlier it was like 80% of the semiconductors in the world are produced on Taiwan.
Microchips, yes.
There's going to be huge consequences to that. Other things like oil, a lot of this places is all focused in one part of the earth. So free trade kind of helped facilitate that in trade. But as we see that break down, the consequences will be dire.
I still think that immigrants like me still say America is still the shining city on the hill for freedom lovers all over the world. So how are we going to focus on our efforts and time and to actually, you know, defend, protect our country, sometimes from enemies within? It's a big question. So, I mean, of course, if we could, you know, morally, diplomatically, economically help other countries, that's great. But right now, I'm just worried about America is going to fall. And then what going to do? Who are we going to help? Are we going to subject to the United Nations? Well, they give up our sovereignty but you know, China is one of the major players in the United Nations. They're on the Council of Human Rights. They're on one of the
Security Council.
National Security.
They get the veto on anything, yeah.
And the WHO actually did work with them and cover up the COVID and telling the truth to the world. And we don't even go after China to say, where is origin of the COVID? Where is your patient? Zero? And instead of we're just buying lots of PPE from them.
Yeah.
It just does not make sense.
Let's go to Super Chats. If you haven't already, would you kindly smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show if you really do like it, and become a member at timcast.com. We're going to have that member segment coming up for you at 11 p.m. And I think it might end up being particularly not family friendly, as it usually is not family friendly, but this one might be really just not for the family. Let's read some Super Chats. All right, what we got here? Christina H. says, Lily with a whole bunch of emojis with hearts in the eyes. Aw, there you go.
Thank you.
And S says, Tim's looking like a mint chocolate chip snack.
Yes. You color.
I love it. It's true.
Indeed.
Yes.
Mr. Sly Trip says, bulk shirts for the win. What does that mean, bulk shirts? I did buy like just a big stack of these shirts.
Yeah, I think that's like, what it means. You just have a bunch of shirts in bulk.
Yeah. I have like... I have like 50 of those gray shirts. I always buy tons of the same shirt because I wear the same shirt forever.
Well, but now you've leveled up. This is like Tim 2.0. You got enough XP and the outfit change.
Well, it's funny because people will make like memes of me, but it'll be me wearing the gray and black baseball tee from like 5 or 6 years ago. Mm. And then it's just like, man, I haven't worn that shirt in years, and they're making memes about it. It's like, do you even watch anything I make? Because that's like a long... No, they don't. They don't.
Is it just in teal, or do you have other colors too?
Oh, yeah, other colors.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's just like black and gray. Mm. And then like I have this one. And then I got the black and gold for Andy, our CTO. Sweet. The cap colors
that's
and
right.
The colors.
Best colors.
The best colors. Okay. Bobby Bob yells, Dragon Lady. Is that considered disrespectful, or is that considered a funny thing?
Well, it's funny you call Dragon Lady because I was born in a dragon year, which is the most auspicious Chinese zodiac, you know, out of 12. So I will take that as a compliment. But I'm tiger mom in this tiger year. For Dragon Lady, that's right. Well, I'm the positive Dragon Lady.
Do you guys remember when I believe it was Lieutenant Governor of Virginia was elected, the picture they used for her, it was a black woman holding a gun. It would be so awesome if Lily were to have a successful campaign, and if this was the picture that they used when they had to say that Lily was the winner in her New Hampshire second congressional district, so be sure to check her out.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Trent Laywell says, hey, Tim, after listening to last night's members-only segment, I just have to ask, don't you think the Ukrainian people deserve autonomy? Yes, they do. They should be responsible for themselves and their attempts to get it. And it's, it's difficult. I have Ukrainian friends, and I certainly don't like what Russia is doing, but I think the U.S. is overstepping in a million ways. It's one thing to be like, hey, we're going to provide military aid to this country. It's another thing to be like, we're going to provide military aid. We're going to send border troops to Poland to deal with the influx of refugees. We're going to send U.S. forces for training. We're going to send $54 billion at a time when our economy is crumbling. And then we're going to provide the intelligence to be used by the Ukrainians for blowing up Russian flagships. And I'm just like, you know, it's one thing to be like, let's help this country. It's another thing to be like, we're directly at war with Russia and lying about it. All right. Adrian Contreras says, oh, my God, I want to give this lady a huge hug. Also, was monkeypox ground zero the Wuhan Monkey Virology Research Center? Interesting. Perhaps. I don't know. No, I don't know where monkeypox is. I think someone went to Canada and they came back, Massachusetts, and now they have it. All right. OMG Puppy says there are two kinds of monkeypox. This one is less dangerous, 1% fatal, and not easy to transmit. Only contagious after symptoms appear. The Congo version is 10% fatal, but this is the Nigerian version. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Well, all right. Jerkoff Juggernaut says, hey, Timmy, might want to look into why Samsung decided to add the Azov flag into their emoji list. What? Did they really?
I'm looking why? At it right now.
That can't be, that can't be true.
Looking that up.
The Azov battalion is becoming like, amazingly is the wrong word to describe it, but amazingly mainstream. So I've been covering these Ukraine protests that happen weekly in New York City. So first it started off with just, yeah, we love Ukraine. Then the next one, they were chants specifically for the Azov battalion, which I posted to Twitter, got a couple million views, no big deal. Then the next protest was specifically, we support the Azov battalion, and like a dozen people with signs of the actual Wolf's Angel, which was a controversial symbol used by the SS Panzer Division and other neo-Nazi groups. But it was just so interesting how normalized they became so quickly and how public they were willing to be with these extremely controversial symbols. So,
well, yeah, I mean, because the left doesn't have any actual principles. If a group is not useful to them, if it's hateful, if it's useful to hate a group, they hate them. If it's expedient, they don't. This is why, you know, Hitler and Stalin had a deal, right? We've seen communists and Nazis work together in the past.
Yeah.
David C. Kronk Sr. says, conspiracy theory. Tim Pool starts monkeypox scare so that he can continue playing Fauci for Freedom Tunes. We haven't had a Fauci episode in a long time.
I know, that's why you ran out of the nice shirts and you have to go to the teal ones. You can't afford it anymore, man.
The button-ups were too expensive. I leased them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's $300 a month.
I don't buy it, that's for fools. You lose 80% of the value as soon as you take that shirt off the lot.
That's right.
As soon as you clip that tag.
Yep. All right. Sam Whitehurst says, I have a friend who is so black-pilled that he believes the potential collapse is inevitable and will be so great that no one will survive. I'm very worried about him, but don't know how to give him hope. Any advice? I certainly think that we're headed for a major collapse in a variety of ways, but that I don't think anything's going to be bad for any of us.
I was going to say, is your friend Tim, maybe?
Right.
No, but the idea that the collapse happens and everyone just dies. It's like, here's what I imagine. I imagine there will be some kind of collapse. Your buying power will go down. Gas will be $15 to $20 a gallon. The economy will crumble to a great degree. Everyone will have to become substantially more personally responsible, and they will. And there will be a period of great strife, but within a few months, you'll probably have adapted to it, and we'll all probably just start to rebuild. And it's not the apocalypse. You know, I think humans are adaptive and clever. So things can break apart, but I think we'll build them back up. I mean, for me out here in the middle of nowhere, it might be a bit more relaxing. Just go out and tend to the chickens all day. There you go. And eat the wine berries. I'm so excited for wine berry season, you guys.
Well, I would say this. It's much easier said than done, but I think one of the key components to this is helping your friend realize that the things that make his life more comfortable prior to this collapse he believes is going to happen are not the things that give his life meaning. Mm.
A lot of people use being black-pilled as an excuse to be nihilist and not do a lot with their lives.
Yes.
But if you're going to be black-pilled, at least be black-pilled in the direction where you're like, F it, I'm actually going to do as much whatever I wanted to do with my life because of the black pill. So there's two directions you could take it, but...
I still have hope for America. I'm still optimistic. That's why I'm fighting. We just need a lot more to push back and to do little things our own way to help to prevent this. Otherwise, imagine the world would be a very dark place if American falls, right?
Amen. And
it's
I appreciate
a dark
your
place
attitude
where American
about
liberty is dim. It's a dark world.
Yeah, that's why it's
dim.
Time to push back now. You cannot just say, oh, I'm afraid to be called racist. I'm afraid to lose my job, lose my career, lose my business. But you're gonna lose everything anyway.
Yeah.
It's better just get involved and activate it now before it's too late, right? That's why I always tell people, hey, you can always move to New Hampshire before it's too late.
Yeah. All right. Julian says, Tim, it's time for you to start a skate team and make rad videos like land yachts. We have that in the works, actually. We're building our new facility. I'm talking with some really great construction guys. We're going to be building an awesome new studio and recreational and work facility. And we've got some plans for it. We actually have a whole bunch of skateboards. We have Timcast skateboards of all sizes, and we have Step on Snek and Find Out skateboards. We have a ton of them. I think we have like 100 of them. Or
wow.
No, maybe like 60 or 70. A lot of them.
Skateboards.
Well, the decks, like the wood part. I don't know I got them because I was like, these are cool. And I thought the Step on Snek and Find Out shirt was hilarious, and it sold really well, so I made skateboards. Maybe we should sell them because people would probably want to buy those.
Yeah, we should do that.
I don't know. We don't have a mechanism for selling them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have them, though. Yeah, maybe we'll just give them out. Maybe I'll just have someone go around to skate parks and give them out. We send a bunch to a skate shop for free because it's just good marketing, just so that all of a sudden the skate shop has free boards they can sell, make money, help keep the shop up and running. Mm. But then also you get a whole bunch of kids riding around on Timcast skateboards. It's just good marketing. And within 2 days, the graphic's completely ruined and no one knows it's a Timcast skateboard.
You should send one to that girl from yesterday.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, I checked out her Instagram. She actually Instagram storied the part of the show yesterday where we spoke about her.
Oh, so, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Check that out.
Cool.
Sweet. Yeah.
So shout out to her again. Yeah.
Taylor Silverman, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you can follow Taylor Mae Silverman. Yeah, I've been in touch with her. I want to have her out and have a conversation about the issues and her experience and stuff. I think she's doing interviews or something, but I don't know for sure. But yeah, maybe some cool stuff in the skateboarding world coming soon. Shredkowski says, NH voter here. Lily, what is your stance on nuclear power and how will you fight to lessen the role of the federal government when elected?
Well, I hope I can help to reduce the federal government powers and also the not be so reckless benders. I think a nuclear power, energy, you see, talk about nuclear. Mm. Well, I have to look into that nuclear issues, but do you know how many we have?
How many?
How many nuclear?
In New Hampshire?
No, you talk about power plant, right?
Yeah,
like energies, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I support we actually explore all channels, all resources to increase energy production. And I heard actually nuclear is pretty good.
I'm a fan of nuclear.
Yeah. And I think, Musk actually even talk about that, right? It's pretty safe. France use lots of that.
Right.
I think New Hampshire has two, but one is active. Another one, for some reason, is just not really active. And now we have to develop all sorts of energy supplies. We cannot rely on dictatorship countries. For example, Biden is begging for Venezuela and then later in Middle East. Means he's asking people to supply us all your energy all the time from other countries. But we cannot depend on them. Why can we depend on ourselves? Remember, under previous president, we were actually exporting the energy to other countries. Mm. And the federal government is way too big and way expensive. And people are suffering because they constantly, cannot balance budget and constantly printing money. So inflation going to be even higher. And the energy costs will go higher. It's going to hurt working people. And billionaires might not get so much hurt, right? They still fly their private jet, right? Even though they say, hey, we have climate change, but hey, we're going to fly our private jet.
To go to the Helsinki Climate Summit, they're going to all go on their private
and jet. And buy houses on the beaches, even though in 12 years that, we will not have those, places. Mm-hmm. So you have to put things in perspective that, call them out if you see hypocrisy. And the best way just become independent thinkers, don't believe those kind of rhetorics anymore.
All right. Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Tim, you hear about Sri Lanka? No food, no gas. There's riots. They may resort to cannibalism. That doesn't sound so bad. You ever eat with a butt?
Oh,
it does sound really, really bad.
Oh, jeez.
That's what I was talking about this earlier, that, you get to the point. We've not seen a famine with cities of these sizes.
Do you know under Mao that the people in my home province, Sichuan, they were so hungry? Their kids die of starvation, and they swapped their children's bodies to eat, to survive. And it's not documented, not even talking about it. But the Chinese people from China know there was cannibalism during the mass famine.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the cities, they don't even really know what goes on because there's a lot of,
Because cities were protected by the government. Yeah. But the peasants who were forced to turn over their crops to the cities by the government,
yep.
They had nothing left for themselves
to eat. That's happening now with water in California. Mm. I don't know. I it's been 7 years or so since I've been down there. But the drought, when I was there, the cities take the water from the poor farming communities, because they can vote them. They cannot vote them. They have more power.
I don't like to see that repeat in history.
All right. Benjamin Wheeler says, Tim, love the show. Thanks for having Lily back on. With the Elon Musk hit pieces coming out alleging sexual misconduct, do you think this will somehow prevent him from acquiring Twitter? No, I think Elon has to buy Twitter now. He's Bugs Bunnied them, as it were. Meaning, at first he was trying to buy Twitter and everyone was like, no, you can't do it. Then all of a sudden he's like, the deal's on hold because of spam bots. And they're like, you can't quit. You have to buy it now. It's the meme. It's seriously, when the Babylon Bee wrote the article, it says, ingenious move, Donald Trump comes out in support of impeachment, so Democrats must oppose.
Yeah, that's right.
Elon Musk questions buying Twitter. Now they're like, no, you have to buy it now. And he's like, I guess I do.
And so many people were defending, like, the worst people who are currently the owners of Twitter. I believe a large percent of it is owned by one of the Saudi princes. Somebody fact-checked me on that. But he came out saying, like, oh, no, I disagree with Musk trying to buy any part of Twitter. But it's like, bro, you work in one of the most corrupt countries on planet Earth, so.
Ski says, as an Alaskan, would you consider getting Sarah Palin on? She's running for Congress in Alaska this year. That would be amazing. I would love to have Sarah Palin on.
Yeah.
We can talk about how Tina Fey said, I can see Russia from my house, and then people actually thought that was Sarah Palin who said it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Talk about fact-checking satire, you know? Right. Where was Snopes back then?
That's why Snopes does it, because they're like, there are a lot of dumb people.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've sort of talked about this in the show before, but the study they conducted to determine that people were believing Babylon Bee was completely pseudoscientific.
Right, they faked it.
Yeah.
They changed the headlines of the satire article.
Yeah, to make them sound more believable.
Right.
They removed the jokes, changed them to make them sound more believable, and then asked people if they were believable.
You know, Tim, if you are aware, there are record number of Republican woman running for Congress this year.
Wow.
Records.
With record turnout. So we're going to have a whole... Wow, think about that. The Congress will be disproportionately Republican women. Relatively, I should say.
Oh, my.
Well, 2018, remember, lots of Democrat women got elected. Right. And so it's like...
Where the men at?
Yeah, so like, hey...
Testosterone's dropping.
Republican is a big 10, too. You know, if I can run as a Chinese immigrant who come here with nothing... I'm leaving American dream. That's the best proof, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this woman came here with nothing, couldn't even speak English. She's running for Congress. Imagine if I do win, it would be historical, right? Of course, not about me. It's about my messages. It's about our country. It's about my children. Like I go everywhere where my children and baby pictures in my little gold locket here.
Yeah.
You know, I keep telling them I'm doing this for you. I'll give you a campaign update before you wrap up.
Yeah, yeah. Zach... See, Goldston says, as a faithful next morning listener, I have to agree with chat last night. Hearing Libby talk about how she is raising her son, she is beyond just a good mother, but should be an example for most women. On a separate but equal note, the nourishment was on display for us Shimcast fans. Love all of ya. Stay classy. Stay classy, Zach. That was a very, very classy super chat.
Indeed, yes. The classiest.
Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Lily is more pro-American than most politicians.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. But I think when you come from CCP-controlled China to America, escaping it, you're like, this is a great place. And I think for the progressive leftist millennials who grew up here, I would love to buy anyone. You know, I've made the offer to many of these progressives. I was like, I will buy you a plane ticket to one of these countries you think is doing well. Like, you want to go to Venezuela? You know, and talk to these people and meet them and see how they live and see what they think. I'll get you the plane ticket.
Can you invite AOC to debate me here?
Oh, no, she would never do that.
She
would accuse me of harassing her.
Something like that.
She'd be like, she's hitting on me.
Engaged today. Or it came out today that she's engaged.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then if I was like, if I reached out to AOC's like campaign manager or whatever and said we'd love to have her on the show, she'd tweet, Tim Pool emailed my manager trying to hit on me and ask for a date or something.
I am engaged, Tim.
She tweets.
I just like to debate somebody, you know, if they are, you know, open-minded to come. Even Bill Maher said actually more conservatives go on to his show
and
take his challenge. But then lots of the another side, they don't show up on his show. What are they afraid of? They don't have arguments?
I think Vosh is always interested in having those kinds of debates. Maybe we can get
good for him. Yeah.
Maybe we can get a leftist or progressive to come on. Maybe ideally it would be a politician. So you know, we'll see. Well, yeah, we'll try. That'd be great.
Well, you guys have debates against your who you're running against. I know it's in September when.
September 13th is our primary, and before the primary, Republican county like committees they will host debates. Like they say, I have basically one. Republican opponent in the primary. Mm-hmm. They're primarily five, but only one is active campaigning. That's why I call myself a front runner in terms of money raised and national, like, news coverage, like, including YouTuber show like this. Mm-hmm. So I'm a front runner. The thing is, so if I won the nomination, I heard there's only one debate or something on WMUR, which is the only TV station we have in New Hampshire to debate my Democrat opponent.
Will there be a Republican debate? With you and their Republican, was there a Republican primary? I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, Republican September 13th. Oh, yeah, okay. That's Republican primary, but I don't know that if the WMUR is going to host a primary debate just for all Republicans or not.
I was going to say Tim Kass could probably host a better debate than they can. So.
Yeah, but they have to come here, right?
I mean, no, we have the mobile studio, but we certainly wouldn't do a debate in it. We could rent a venue and probably put something on. We'll have to – we would need to hire a big production company who knows how to do stuff like that. We could do it. Yeah, well, we should look into it.
I would like to encourage people to come to primary vote for me because in New Hampshire, anybody who is undeclared, they can come to Republican primary, take their ballot to vote. And that way guarantee my primary victory. Then I can go on to general, which is less than 2 months away after that, and to against this incumbent Democrat. She has been there for 10 years. She votes with Pelosi 98% of time. And the people say that this is a year for really Republican to defeat her. They tried for past 10 years. And so I'm doing very well in terms of my messages. And thank you, Teamcast followers, you are the best donors. After February 1st, you know, an interview, I got over 1,000 donors from that show. Oh. So now I need to raise $150,000 by the end of this quarter.
But you also went on Tucker Carlson, right?
Yes, I did.
Certainly, you know, you did very well.
Actually.
Did we beat Tucker?
Well, so far from Tucker Carlson, which is only last week, last Thursday night, I got over 120 donors from that show. But I got 1,000 from your 2 hours show. So I'm hoping after tonight, if 10,000 people here give me $20 each, oh, I can win this. I will be the first Kennedy and the first Republican woman to go to Congress. But grew up in mainland China, a communist country.
I'm just thinking about a Chinese immigrant having a conversation or, like, you know, speaking out against, you know, like AOC. So you have a Chinese immigrant who escaped Chinese communism speaking to a progressive leftist who's complaining about America. It's just going to be it's going to be a sight.
I will debate her, but here is saying those not just AOC. There are 97 members of Progressive Caucus members in the U.S. Congress, House of Representatives, 97. That's the biggest political caucus. They decide what kind of policies, bills they want to pass. I'm outnumbered, but you need to probably elect me, and plus 10 other people like me to go there or more.
All right, let's read some more. We got Glacio says, Lily, I'm a graduate student based in Brazil, currently studying how CCP exports censorship, trying to start raising alarm in my uni about how we are following in their footsteps. Thesis might turn into a book. Is there a way I can send it to you?
Oh, great. We'll keep communication there, of course, you know. And there is my website, lilytongwilliams.com. When you push the donate button, and there is a mail-in address, like PO box number, and you can send me to there, you know. Good job. Thank you for doing that. You know, Chinese Communist Party is exporting everything from China to free world. And we have to be awake to resist that.
Yeah, we're having to abide by Chinese standards. If you want to make, like, a movie or something now, and you don't want to have to change it for the United States and China, you just make it according to the Chinese standards becomes the issue. So,
yeah, Hollywood kind of compromise on that. Yep.
It's a huge Chinese market, yeah.
Duloc says, hello, neighbors from Martinsburg, West Virginia. I am 25 years old, have a wife and a 3-year-old son. I carry my gun everywhere I go. I moved here from Maryland in 2021. I refuse to live in a state that doesn't let me defend my family. Hear, hear. Allison Goddard says, we love you all so much that we have named some of our foster puppies after you. We have Tim, Ian, Luke, Tucker, Brandon Tatum, Candace, Megan, Kristen, Kaylee, Marjorie, and Bella all up for adoption through God's Dogs. I couldn't help but notice not a single Seamus.
Well, listen to the thing. That's probably the first batch of dogs where one of them didn't get named Seamus. Because 9 times out of 10, when I tell someone my name, oh, my friend had a dog named Seamus. Or, oh, I had a dog named Seamus all the time.
That's funny. Actually, that's lots of dogs.
It's a good name for a dog.
It's a very common one, isn't it?
Ooh, yeah. Get an Irish sheepdog and name him Seamus.
Yeah. No, you do whatever you want. It's your dog, Tim.
Wouldn't that be funny if it's like, hey, Seamus, and then you come out and at the same time you say what up and the dog barks at the same time, you know?
Yeah, well, that's how, I mean, I can communicate with
them. And then I'm like, oh, not you, Seamus. Hey, Seamus, did you want to go get food?
It wouldn't be for, I know you'd be inviting the dog too. by the way, I love how this person, like, before they included my name, they started like naming the dogs after audience members. It's like a 20 person long list.
What, audience members? No, Brandon.
No, I was kidding. I was kidding because the core cast was naming them. There was a bunch of names after it.
That's pretty funny, yeah.
Name the dog, Seamus. We'll have to do it. Seamus! Which one? Not you. All right, let's see. John Carranza says, Tim, need help. Been preparing to vote in the midterms, but I'm having trouble finding when and where. Know any websites that share that info? From South Carolina. Find out what your district is, and then go to Ballotpedia and look it up, and that should have all the information, I believe. There's probably better websites for it, but, you know, that's the best I can do. I mean, you probably just... Yeah, Google? Ballotpedia. Well, but depending on what you Google, you might get some fundraising sites or who knows.
Normally, the local parties all have that information, you know. Local town, you know, they have information where to vote.
Rita Ho says, Taipei Act S-1678 signed by Trump on 3-26-20 allows U.S. to provide direct military aid to Taiwan. There is no such U.S. law for Ukraine. Interesting. Vic says, as a Cuban American, it's always refreshing to hear from survivors of communism. Let's not let Taiwan become another Bay of Pigs. I'm anti-war, but weak men create hard times. Tim, God bless you, your crew, and the chickens. Especially the chickens.
Chicken City, famous.
That's right.
All right, let's grab some super cheats. All right. Comic Nut says, Tim, I'm the guy who called the rugged man weak. You're still a good guy. Also, everyone that people in the States still have some kind of a virtue, i.e. guns. And also, Miss Lily, I'm 6'5 and built like a brick house. If you need some extra muscle, just ask, and I'll keep the spies away.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. And I also, lots of people are praying for me and continue to do so. But I could use some help. If I go to your town, I will say, hey, who is my supporter showing up here?
Marion Holtzman says, YouTube limits me to $500 a week to support opposing voices to the mainstream media. This week, it's your turn. Thank you for your interesting guests. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. And everybody else with the Super Chats, I really do appreciate it. Speak out against the manipulation and the lies. Woods Precision Arms says, Lily, we follow you anywhere. You kick ass from Woods Precision Arms.
Oh, good.
There you go. There was a really good Super Chat. Maybe it's at the bottom. We'll see if I can find it. What do we have here? Hydrogen Hayes says, if we take veto-proof majority, it's time to start stripping the executive branch of authority by dissolving federal agencies, BLM, ATF, DHS, EPA, etc. Yes. Lily, would you like to repeal the NFA? National Firearms Act.
Sounds like some store, right? Yeah. No. So, well, that I think that there's really no need for that to exist. You know, give back to state. It's not the federal's job. All those three-letter agencies, lots of them really are not, you know, constitutional to exist in the first place. That's how our government at the federal level gets super big, right?
It starts taking over the states.
It's taking over. Where is the state right? I want to risk, I love Florida governor. He really stands up for Florida.
Do you think a person has a right to a fully automatic rifle? Do you think people should have a right to have a fully automatic rifle?
I don't see why not. When you fight the tyranny, you use whatever you can. I'm just worried about it. You know, there's no guarantee our government will never become tyranny.
It's going that way.
Yeah.
The National Firearms Act basically makes it difficult to acquire selective fire rifles that can do burst or full auto. So, and it makes it impossible to get suppressors. And repeal them.
How about repeal all unconstitutional gun control laws.
Which is all of them.
All of them.
Yes. Our rights to self-defense exist any laws.
even Scalia said there were limits on the Second Amendment. And so I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I agree with that. That's a modern interpretation. And if we go by modern interpretations, then eventually woman won't be a real word. It'll be Wimixon. It won't be in the Constitution at all.
Well, if they never lived under communism, then we have some conversations to have with those people, right? because I survived that. For me, it's very easy. I see things clearly.
All right, we got one more. Let's read this one. BTK says, Tim, explain how the U.S. abandoning Ukraine after George H.W. Bush and Clinton signed and you've agreed with the abandonment. Your Ukrainian friends must be proud of your view. This is actually a really good critique of me, and I accept it. There was a treaty that had to do with nuclear disarmament, and the U.S. promised to protect Ukraine in the event of aggression from a foreign nation if they chose to give up their nukes. In which case, fair point. I think the U.S. needs to stop being wishy-washy. I would have preferred if the U.S. went in with a treaty with Ukraine years ago when they were actually when Ukraine was actually trying to get one. And I think it would have been smarter to implement a no-fly zone before any aggression started, when the Biden administration knew and had warned us. And I didn't believe it. So fair point. I don't know how to reconcile that. I don't like the idea of the U.S. getting involved in Eastern Europe. But if the U.S. does have that agreement, I think we should absolutely review it. And if we are beholden to that treaty, then I think we're beholden to that treaty. Good point. I definitely wanted to read that one because we did talk about that before. A lot of people have brought it up, and I will stress, we told Ukraine, if you give up your nukes, we got your back. Depending on what that fully meant in terms of the law, I think we would have to review, and I don't want to jump the gun too soon, but I'm just very weary of the U.S. at a time of crisis and economic strife to be sending so much money overseas and potentially risking World War III. But again...
Can I get a quick note on that? Treaties are treaties, but when things hit the fan and what will actually happen, I feel like are two different things. Treaties have been broken. Like, right now we're under NATO commitment to like cover the Baltic states, like Lithuania. Like, if Russia did invade, are we willing to go to nuclear war over Estonia, Lithuania? Most people can't point these countries out on a map. And, you know, there's a deeper conversation here about what these treaties mean. So something to take into consideration.
I do have a independence friends in my town, and an older woman, she told me when we had lunch together, she said, I'm so stressed out. I said, what? So I'm so worried about war, nuclear war, World War III. How about my kids, my grandchildren? And she said, how come our government is not, you know, trying the maximum, the way to do, you know, peace talks and negotiate, you know, sit down with everybody. She's very worried.
All right, we're gonna get into that members only show, but I just want to read one from the regular checks that I did just notice it, and where did it just go? Did they just get rid of it? Oh, there it is. Adam Gould III says, "Nice shirt, Tim. Do they make them for men?"
Roasted.
All right, yeah. Everybody, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, share the show with your friends. Head over to timcast.com. We're gonna have a members only show coming up at about 11 or so p.m. No shows tomorrow because I have a very important business meeting. So we have to be, I have to actually fly out super early. I'm getting up at like 4 a.m. or whatever. And then I'm going to have to go fly to a different city for important work. But everything will return on Monday as per usual. You can follow the show at TimCast.IRL. You can follow me personally at TimCast on Instagram, Twitter, or wherever. Lily, do you want to shout anything out?
Yes, I need everybody, please, try your best. I know time is hard. If 10,000 people donate $20, you know, within the next 2 months, I can win. Please help. I need the volunteers too. If you live in New Hampshire, contact me, lilytownwilliams.com. When you go there, donate, as I said, $200. You get a signed copy for my AR-15 pictures. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Lily, it has been fantastic to have you on as per usual. I would like to promote Freedom Tunes. It's a YouTube channel I run. We make educational cartoons, mostly political satire though. We released a cartoon today on the left, mysteriously rediscovering biological sex as abortion bans have begun to occur. So go over to freedomtunes.com, put your email in the little box, and when the site launches on May 30th, you will get notified. You'll also have the opportunity to subscribe for extra exclusive content.
Hey, everybody. I'm Alad. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I cover protests and on-the-ground report for TimCast. You could find my social media for Twitter in the description below. I'm also barely informed with Alad on YouTube and Instagram. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
And I just want to say thank you guys again for tuning in for our time with Lily. I always enjoy everything she has to tell us, and I'm really optimistic for this race. Hopefully it's good. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Minds.com at SarahPatchLids, as well as SarahPatchLids.me.
If you haven't already noticed, Pop Culture Crisis now goes live.
Yes.
I believe it is. What is it? Sunday through Sunday?
Sunday through Thursday.
Sunday through Thursday at 3 p.m.
I think so.
So a little bit different from our schedule because they go Sunday through Thursday, which I often thought about, but they got it. And if you want to hang out and watch pop culture commentary, movies, actors, drama, and all that stuff, it's youtube.com/popculturecrisis. Check them out. It's the latest show, one of the shows we've launched over at timcast.com and now on YouTube. And we will see you all over at timcast.com. Thanks for hanging out. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.